are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
Harry let that have to be in bear shape. Because when I'm in the bear shape, I can run. For everybody, if you're in a better condition, like, you do everything better. You run better, you're a better defender, you do everything better. So I work on my conditioning, I three shot, everything, especially on my conditioning and my body.
Sekou Doumbouya, and just like you, buddy, I'm trying to get in shape so I can do more things as well. What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, December the 2nd, and talking 2019 NBA draft class. One surfaces, and will the other get minutes? This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors for all your holiday needs and everything else that you are doing this month to spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast as well. Today, we are going to talk about the second round pick for the Detroit Pistons last year, one of two second round picks, and also the first round pick for the Detroit Pistons from 2019 and how their seasons are shaking up so far. We're also going to continue with our Meet a Pistons series from Brother Brian, talking about Derrick Rose, D. Rose, certainly a guy you know pretty well, but it's been a long time since we've had these Pistons out in the hardwood, so we're going to talk about what they're emphasizing this year and some more goals and expectations for the season ahead as we get to learn some of these new guys and, of course, get reacquainted with the Derrick Roses of the world. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the NBA Christmas Day schedule is out, and no, I think it's 12 straight years now the Pistons are not on the national TV slate, believe it or not. Pelicans and Heat at noon on Christmas Day, the Warriors and the Bucks, the Nets and the Celtics. Now, what I don't know is, are these teams going to be playing before that, or is this the opener for these teams? Because we know the season starts on November 22nd. You'd think a lot of these teams would also be on TNT, possibly for that night. But anyway, I digress. Warriors Bucks 2:30, so the return of Steph Curry. I played a little bit at the end of last year, but the Warriors back in full swing against Giannis. Nets and Celtics with the Kevin Durant debut for the Brooklyn Nets after the Achilles injury, taking on the Kemba Walker-less Boston Celtics as the unraveling of the Boston Celtics kind of continues here. By the way, let's not forget to maybe give a little bit of credit to the Charlotte Hornets for not giving the long-term deal to Kemba Walker if they knew the knees were this bad. It might be a situation for a guy who relies on the athleticism. 8 o'clock, we got Luka and the Mavs taking on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. And in the nightcap, a rematch of the Western Conference semifinals between the LA Clippers and Denver Nuggets. So we get a look at Luke Kennard for the Clippers. Also, Reggie Jackson signing back with the Clippers today. Some old friends with the Lakers talking about, what do we got? We got Markieff still there. The Mavs, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I'm sure I'm missing some guys. But you got Avery Bradley is on the Heat right now. Pelicans, I don't know. I guess I've kind of struck out with some of these, but I'm sure we've had some old Bucks. We have all their old players. So anyway, Christmas Day, enjoy that. Looking forward to the NBA back in our lives on a night-to-night basis. But speaking of back in our lives, someone who I did not expect to be in our lives so quickly. We kept tabs on him last year as a 2019 second-round pick by the Pistons, 37th overall in 2019, and that is Davidas Servetus. I saw Laz Jackson on Twitter refer to him as Dave. I'm not sure if that was like a joke or if that's what his he goes short by. I honestly don't know. And so maybe it's Dave Servetus. So Davidas Servetus is coming over to the, I don't know, the NBA or the G League. He sounds like he has signed, from all reports, Woj reported during the afternoon, 3-year deal. and the Pistons included him in their release that, where, by the way, they also officially announced the signings of Mason Plumlee, Jahlil Okafor, and Josh Jackson as well. But Davidas Sirvydis comes over from Lithuania. He played in the Israeli league last year, getting 4.5 points a game and 3.3 rebounds, 45% from the field. Also played in the Euro Cup as well last year, getting 6 points, 2.8 rebounds per game. As a 19-year-old young guy, 6'8", 190, he's got a nice-looking stroke. We saw him in summer league last summer, was not an effective player at any stretch of the imagination at that point. This seems completely like a G League play to me. I don't know if this is going to end up being a two-way contract. And again, feels like we got some sorting out of the roster to do here. I want to be clear, and I want to be clear about this with Mason Plumlee again. I believe that the Mason Plumlee three-year deal into cap space, in addition to the trade for Davidas Sirvydis, are the two worst moves of this front office. And, of course, it's a little bit complicated because Troy Weaver's new, but this front office actually isn't new. So I kind of loop them together. Maybe I'm being a little bit unfair to Troy in some of that regard, and that I feel like he kind of has a half a strike against him, even when he steps in. Again, that's not fair to him, but that's just how I kind of look at it because, you know, Ed's still there, Arn's still there. They only let him hire one assistant general manager. So to me, I'm not wiping the slate clean on this front office. So the issue with, we've talked at length about Plumlee, but about Davidas Sirvydis, just the trade up, right? You trade up 7 spots and you do a pick swap and you throw in 2 additional first round picks into that when you just got 4 in a deal about 20 minutes ago. So to me, it was just a complete dump of two second round picks in the future for no reason on a team that should be really kind of hoarding assets and not throwing them away. Of course, the through lines of those deals is that Mason Plumlee is represented by Mark Bartlestein, whose son is in the Pistons front office, Josh. And then you got Davidas Sirvydis repped by Michael Tellem, son of Arn Tellem. So the nepotism doesn't look good there. And again, I don't want to dwell on that. I know I bring it up a few times, maybe a little bit too much, but it's just not a good look, and it's something you should try to avoid as a franchise. I know that it's impossible in some situations, but especially when you're giving that extra third year and not getting yourself a break on the average annual value, when I believe Plumlee is one of 2 centers in the NBA that signed unrestricted, or that signed, I think he might be the only center who signed a 3-year deal with a new team this offseason. So I think that Jakob Poeltl of San Antonio re-upped for 3 more years. He's much younger and obviously has a lot more upside than Mason Plumlee, but he got a 3-year deal. But, yeah, most of those guys are signing 2-year deals. Anyway, I could go on. Davidas Sirvydis and Mason Plumlee, I want to be very clear about something. We're wiping the slate clean on these guys. This is an organizational beef I have with the front office of the Pistons. I don't have any beef with Mason Plumlee and Davidas Sirvydis. In fact, I respect it. I respect the hustle. You get as much money as you can. You get it drafted as high as you can. Whatever means you get to get your opportunity, you go snatch it and you go grab it and you come over to the U.S. and you come play in the G League or a two-way deal, whatever it is, and take advantage of your opportunity to be a professional basketball player. I have nothing but respect for these guys. I'm looking forward to the fan in me rooting for these guys. I want them to do well, and I want to be wrong, but I don't think in this situation, I don't know, I'm opening the door for me being wrong, but even if Mason Plumlee goes out and plays really well, that doesn't mean that at this time this wasn't a bad deal to sign. You know what I mean? Like, you could have gotten him for if you really wanted 3 years for some odd reason. You got to get a break on that average annual value and get it down to 18 or 16 for the total length of the contract. Sirvydis, if you just sit back and wait for him, you take that pick at 44, wherever they were in the second round of 2019, or you maybe give up 1 second-round pick or make one of them protected to move up 7 spots in the second round. I mean, we're talking about 2 sides of our mouth. If we're the Pistons and we don't value second-round picks, we have to attach 4 of them to get Luke Kennard. We have to move 2 other ones to get. So Davidas Sirvydis, let me be clear, Davidas Sirvydis is very valuable, 37th pick in the 2019 pack draft. We got to go get up to get him, but these second-round picks that we're giving out that could be the future Davidas Sirvydis, those are not valuable. So I can't follow that logic exactly. But again, rooting for these guys, blank slate for these guys as Pistons. We, when we do talk about the contracts, when we do talk about the trades, we are talking about the front office. not the players. And we're hoping for the best for these guys. And just really was not anticipating seeing Davidas Servetus in training camp this year. We know we had the report that he was coming over. I believe it was a couple weeks ago. Didn't hear anything until today when he heard that he was signed. We got John Hollinger's on Twitter ripping this move. And I know it seems like maybe he's got a little bit of an axe to grind against the Pistons at times. But he's a guy who pays attention to a lot of these things overseas. There aren't a lot of people that do that in the front office realm, especially in a public sense as an analyst right now. So we got to kind of go by what these guys are telling us. I know none of you guys are watching Davidas night in and night out with what he did these last few nights or last few years. But we will have a chance, apparently, very soon to see him play, whether that's preseason, Grand Rapids Drive, whatever G League season that is. Maybe it's a COVID situation. Maybe they wherever he was going to play, maybe that wasn't going to happen for whatever reason. So we'll hear the front office out on this, but of course we're passing along the news. And we are rooting for Servetus. We are rooting for Mason Plumlee. We are rooting for the Pistons to have this all turn out well. And I'm rooting for me 2 years from now to say, hey, remember that first offseason that Troy Weaver had and I called more than half of his moves ones that I wouldn't make and a couple of them even worse than that? Well, I was dead wrong. This guy put a target on the players he wanted. He made aggressive moves to go get him and unconventional moves to go get him in some ways, but it worked out, and this guy has an eye for talent, and I appreciate the audacity that he had, and we're moving forward in a great direction as the Detroit Pistons fan base. But up next, speaking of great direction for the fan base, Sekou Doumbouya, what is going on with him, and will he get some minutes? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar. I got more Built Bars on the way. It's like Christmas for me already. I'm getting like three Christmases this year. I'm so excited. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the old ones, if you can believe that. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the six new flavors. Add those to the 12 OGs, flavors like mint brownie, orange, and peanut butter brownie. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate and soft and easy to chew as well. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. All of those macros that you want to hit, they're good for the keto diet, can keep you in ketosis as well. Built Bar, go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Double up on those. Keep them coming in. They send you more deals when you keep buying them. I know this because I'm in that trap right now, but it's the best possible trap you could be in. builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Yes, sir!
The one thing that it gives me hope with Sekou is he had an excellent summer. I thought last year it was an up and down first year, which is, you know, unfortunate for him. You know, I thought he had when he first came in the first couple of weeks, he had a baptism going against LeBron and Kawhi Leonard and that group out in L.A. That was a baptism by fire, and he did a good job. But, you know, even when he did that, I knew there was still a learning curve that he had. Thought he had an excellent summer. And one thing he's gotten used to is the intensity about how he goes about his work, and I've been really impressed with this summer.
Dwayne Casey on Sekou Doumbouya as they get ready for a big season for both of these guys. And a lot of Pistons fans kind of wondering with some of the offseason moves, one of the things that they might be wondering about is where are Sekou's minutes going to come from, right? You got the Jeremy Grant big signing in addition to Blake Griffin still being here. You know those guys are going to demand some playing time when they're on the court, maybe some big lineups when you got Mason Plumlee, the big ticket free agent out there. You draft Sadiq Bey, you bring in a flyer on a young guy in Josh Jackson. John and Musa at some point is going to want to see the court. Rodney Magruder, kind of that same vein of a two, maybe even a three type, although Magruder's a little smaller. Svi Mykhailiuk played a little three last year too. Certainly Sekou is more of a four, but you could say the same about Jeremy Grant, and he's probably not going to play all that much four if Blake Griffin's healthy. So what do we got? We got 15, 16 guys that all need minutes, that all kind of demand minutes or should demand minutes if you want to get looks at them, or they're veteran enough players where they should be getting some looks. So how does that do for guys like Sekou and guys for Killian Hayes, who you want to see out there on the NBA court? I'm not worried about it. I know that this is something I feel like is overblown at this time of the season all the time, because you look at the healthy roster and you say, where are all these minutes going to come from? Well, guess what? You can cross off two of these names, unfortunately, a few weeks into the season, maybe even training camp, because you're going to have some injuries, right? COVID's going to be a bigger deal. You know that Derrick Rose's minutes is going to be watched, so DeLon Wright's going to move to one a lot more than people might think he will. I think that Blake Griffin is going to be sitting out games quite a bit. Mason Plumlee's an older guy. The rookies like Sadiq Bey, I think they're a little bit further down on the pecking order than Sekou. I don't know if they want to take Jeremy Grant and drive him into the ground the first year of a $60 million deal. So I've sat through too many Pistons games on TV or courtside working where I've seen the inactive list, seen all the injuries these last few years, and been like, so who's going to play in this game? And that is just going to happen, right? We sat through it last year. Everyone was worried about Dumbuya not playing the first half of the season. Well, guess what? Right after January 1st, he's getting starter minutes. He's playing 20-plus minutes a night. He's getting some highlights. He's looking like an NBA player for a while. And then 10 games after that, we're all like, man, this guy looks exhausted. He has had enough. So, no, I'm not concerned about a guy who's going to be turning 20 this month, later this month. Yes, we want to see him on the court. Yes, we want to see him in competitive situations. And, yes, it would be nice to get him out there 20 minutes a game if possible. But, no, that is not something that I'm worried about. I think that this team will be out of any kind of contention by the time midseason comes around. And at that point, just like they did last year, they'll do what's right. They'll get the young guys in there. Maybe a trade or so will be worked out. Maybe a Rose and or Griffin are dealt at that point. Again, injuries will happen, and just not something that I'm really worried about here with Sekou looking at season two. Obviously, those big starts that he had that Dwayne mentioned, LeBron, Kawhi, also playing against Draymond a little bit in the Golden State Warriors, knocking down some shots, the dunks, the big dunk. And I believe it was Tristan Thompson from the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Sekou finishes at 6.4 points per game, knocking down three-pointers at a 28.6% clip. No playmaking at all last year, 0.5 assists per game at 20 minutes per effort. So, yeah, he gassed at the end of the season. Dwayne, I don't know, smartly, I guess, kind of went very public with his complaints about Sekou's conditioning. Wasn't in great enough shape, according to the coach. And apparently that is a lesson that's been hammered home and something that the respectability that Dwayne Casey has served him right and served him well in this case, because it seems like the 19-year-old still Frenchman has responded very well to the coaching and a little bit of tough love from Coach Casey in year one. But I also wanted to share with you guys, I said if there's any good clips out there, some positive things about the Pistons offseason, I want it to be shared, and we'll talk about it here. TheAthletic.com, the great David Aldridge, you know DA. I met him down in Rio de Janeiro. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Really like David Aldridge, and of course I like his work. That kind of goes without saying. But, yeah, just want to do a little name drop and place drop there. And event drop as we were covering the Olympics down in 2016 in Rio. But here is what kind of positive things that Aldridge had to say. He ranked the Detroit Pistons offseason the 22nd best offseason. So that's positive in our grading of a curve here for what people thought about the Pistons. Here's what DA had to say about the skinny, quote-unquote, an article for The Athletic. So, hey, free article from The Athletic for you guys here on Locked On Pistons. It was easy, and many did, I quote, to laugh at the Pistons as the Pistons brought in center after center through the draft and early stages of free agency. And it might well wind up that Weaver wildly overpaid for Plumlee and whiffed in adding gobs of dead money to his team's cap and seemingly traded every second-round pick until Wonder Woman 9. Seriously, I like, I don't know pop culture enough. I don't know Wonder Woman's name. Gal Gadot? Got it? I don't know. As much as, I'm so old. As much as the next man, but really, comes out in 2038. Also, pouring one out for Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Dedman, and Tony Bradley, who were each in Motor City for a few minutes after being acquired before being sent on their way. But damn, I like Weaver blowing up the going nowhere squad he inherited and blowing it up real good like they used to do on Farm Film Report on SCTV. That's more my style, DA. And believing in guys like Plumlee, whose 2.4 screen assists per game last season were among the most for non-starting centers in the league. Will it work? I have no idea. But I like a GM who does what he/she thinks is right rather than pay fealty to the conventional wisdom that the keyboard warriors in my business often demand, end quote. Great point from DA. There's too many of us out there that are playing critic and talking about spreadsheets and talking about all that stuff. If Troy Weaver lives up to his billing as a guy who seeks out talent, seeks out the type of players that he wants to build his team, the stretched money, the second round draft picks, the overpay, all that stuff will not mean a thing. You would rather have a guy running your team or a gal running your team who makes good decisions on players as opposed to making the most fiscally responsible moves, et cetera, et cetera. Players is the most important part. We wouldn't be talking about John Luehr and Langston Galloway and Boban and the bloated contracts that those guys got from Stan Van Gundy if he made better decisions on the players themselves, right? The contracts wouldn't matter. And if Andre Drummond was a little bit better of a best or second best player on a team in modern NBA, if Reggie Jackson could have stayed healthy and become the $80 million player that he was paid to be, we would be talking a lot differently about Stan Van Gundy as president of the Detroit Pistons. And Troy Weaver still has a lot of time in front of him, and maybe he's already made good moves, and maybe there are a lot more good moves to come. I don't like it. I was a critic of it. I do a daily podcast about this team. I have to kind of come up with a take on it, and I promise you I'm not doing it just to make headlines or anything like that. I truly believe that this was a bad offseason by Troy Weaver, and I'm excited to be proven wrong by the Detroit Pistons and guys like DA who come in and something I totally agree with, love the audaciousness and love the audacity, though you know, a little patience in some of the couple of these situations might have been a little bit more warranted, though. Up next, Brother Brian's going to get us acquainted with Derrick Rose meeting a Piston. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get podcasts. Here's Brother Brian with the Meet a Piston series.
With the whirling dervish that is Troy Weaver and his almost totally remade Detroit Pistons roster, we have decided to take a look at the players, old and new, that are on it and give a brief synopsis on who they are and where they came from. So today, let's look at Derrick Rose, a 32-year-old, 6'2", 200-pound point guard. Rose is from Chicago, Illinois, and went to Memphis, where he played for coach John Calipari. In his one season with the Tigers, he led them to the 2008 National Championship game, where they lost to Kansas in one of the more entertaining championship finals in recent memory. He was a one-and-done at Memphis and was the first overall pick in the 2008 NBA draft by his hometown Bulls. He was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 2009 and the league's MVP in 2011. After a series of crushing knee injuries, he was traded to the Knicks in 2016, and after some pretty nondescript stops in New York and Cleveland, many thought Rose's once promising career was coming to a premature end. But after reuniting with former Bulls coach Tom Thibodeau, he saw a little resurgence and in fact scored 50 points in a game in 2018. Seeing this, the Pistons targeted him that offseason and signed him as a free agent before the 2019-2020 season. Averaging over 18 points and almost 6 assists in just 26 minutes a night, his lone season with the Pistons has been an unmitigated success. The three-time All-Star primarily came off the bench, and Dwayne Casey lauded him for his emergence in that role. Because of that, many have speculated that although he is the Pistons' best guard and one of their two or three best scoring options, he may continue his role coming off the bench to help manage his minutes at around that 25 mark to lessen the stress on the tenuous health of his knees. Derrick is a leader, NBA star, and veteran that can help work with the rookies and other youngsters the Pistons have brought into camp this year to help the team grow. A bball-index.com deep dive showed that Rose was tops with Zion Williamson at finishing at the rim last season, and behind just Zion, Giannis, and Russ at getting to the rim, Rose is one of the best at penetrating and scoring in the league. Rose is in the last year of his contract that will pay him just under $8 million this year. Because of his elevated play, veteran status, and affordable mid-level exception salary, he will be a popular name in trade rumors if he is able to continue to play at a high level and, probably more importantly, stay healthy. Thanks for listening, and look for our next Meet a Piston when we will look at guard Wayne Ellington.
Going from the most veteran to the more new players, on the Detroit Pistons in the Meet a Pistons series. But Derrick Rose, Bob Myers of the Golden State Warriors, the general manager there, unprompted, was giving a little speech about Klay Thompson's devastating injury and brought up that the two players that are beloved and most respected by other NBA players around the league are Klay Thompson and Derrick Rose. Bob went out of his way to say, I hope I'm not getting in trouble for saying this, but an interesting comment. It just makes me crazy to believe that there's not more of a trade market out there for Derrick Rose, given that Bob Myers is saying those kind of things. What veteran team? We watched a lot of teams in the bubble. We rehashed this all last year, but I just got that sinking feeling in my stomach that a badly timed injury or maybe another dry trade market come this year's trade deadline. And while we've all enjoyed watching Derrick Rose, some game-winning shots, some very good fourth quarters last year, I'm sure he's going to win a few games for the Pistons, for better or worse, this year as well, and certainly an enjoyable player to watch. And I know there's a lot of people out there that love the guy as a player, and I certainly like him and like watching him on my red, white, and blue Detroit Pistons as well. But, man, would be a shame to make a nice value pickup of a contract of a guy who maximizes what you thought he might be able to bring to the team, and at the end of the day, you get nothing other than a few extra wins, which isn't necessarily even helping this team. But I know that there's the veteran mentorship and all that stuff. A lot of veteran mentorship on this roster, filled with a lot of players that have a shot, filled with some rookies. It's a strange group we have here, and we're looking forward to continue talking about our Detroit Pistons here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device, play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys later.